Welcome to your 4 o'clock hour, and welcome back to Mike Sando, senior writer for ESPN.com. He is an NFL Hall of Fame selector, and I've been talking NFL with him for years. It's good to have him back on here on the Damon Bruce Show. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. Good to talk again.
It's good to talk to you, man. We're getting closer and closer. As a matter of fact, the 49ers will kick off their preseason tomorrow against the Cowboys. I know you've already been down to Cowboys camp, taking a little look at them. You stopped by the 49ers facility before they got training camp underway, but I'm sure you shook a lot of hands and influenced a lot of minds and you know, took some temperatures. What are you expecting from this team in year two? It feels like we almost have to tamp down some lofty expectations for a team we think is going to be better, but we better hold our horses just a little, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I think there's every reason to be excited because it looks like you have an exciting quarterback, but he's not going to win every game. The 5-0 record with Jimmy Garoppolo was awesome. He's just not going to, you know, you could start 3-3 next year without him being any different. You know what I mean? It's just, I think we need to see over a season, everyone's going to be excited early, but to see over a season, hey, how good is he with Kyle Shanahan in this system? What difference do the running backs make? What about opponents who have a little bit more of a read on him? You know, there's going to be some ups and downs for everybody. So let's just stay a little patient. It's hard to do in the NFL because there's only 16 games. We want to evaluate the whole operation every single week. But there's not going to be 5-0 and 15-0 and 16-0. You're going to lose some games.
Oh, that's breaking news from Mike Sando here on the Damon Bruce Show. The Niners are going to lose some games. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think they're a lot better than the team that we were looking at the beginning of last year. They came awfully close when they were losing a whole bunch of games in a row. And a big problem was their secondary. Richard Sherman's second act. What are you expecting from him? There's no doubt they got a real leader now in that locker room. He's had to spend a little time nursing a hamstring injury. I don't think Richard needs a lot of preseason snaps, but when this starts flying for real in week one, what are you expecting from him coming off what is undoubtedly a serious injury?
Well, I think we have to temper the expectations. You know, it's going to be a new team. And let's face it, when he was at his best in Seattle, they had that defense really rolling. I mean, great pass rush, all-pro linebackers, you know, a couple of them. Earl Thomas roaming sideline to sideline makes a big difference for any corner. So I think that he can still be a good player. One of the things I'll be watching for is, how do opposing offenses move their receivers around? Because if you can get Richard matched up out of his comfort zone, get him defending someone in the slot, I think especially at this age and coming off of the injury, there will be times when he'll get beaten. People are like, oh, Richard Sherman, boy, he slipped. But if you can keep him outside and let him play his technique that he's really perfected, then I think he can still be highly effective.
Mike Sando, senior writer at ESPN.com, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You know, we see every single year in football, there's a team that was in the playoffs that now isn't, and there's a team that wasn't in the playoffs that now is. As you kind of look around and put together your thumbnail sketches here, and I'm sure you'd like to see a preseason game or two, actually a few weeks of real action before you answer a question like this, but are you leaning towards they look like they've taken a step forward, they've looked like they've taken a step backwards? A couple of teams that you think might be surprises, a couple of teams you think could be disappointments.
Yeah, you know, I think that Denver's quarterback play last year was so horrendous, like historically bad, that unless you were really following from up close, you might not realize how bad it was. So even though they just plug in Case Keenum, who's not great, if he can just be average, I think they can instantly go from a team that last year was good enough to win five games with no offense to maybe, you know, maybe they're a team that gets into that 9-win range. And in that division where I think Kansas City's retooling on defense, new quarterback, Oakland, you know, new head coach, we're not sure what to expect. San Diego could be there, but with their injuries, you know, San Diego probably should win the division, but it wouldn't be shocking if, you know, with their injuries, that they stayed sort of where they were. I think that's a team to certainly watch for. You know, when you look at teams that, you know, it may not be the same, I think Minnesota is a great example of that, because you change the pulse and chemistry of your team when you change the quarterback position, and the expectations are going to be through the roof. I don't think their offensive line was very good. I think Case Keenum made up for that because he's a move-around guy. But, you know, Tony Sperano, tragic death as the offensive line coach, some new parts there, and the expectations are going to be high. So let's see. I don't know if they're going to just fall on their face, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, they took a decent step back and were fighting for a playoff berth.
That's where Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49er season is going to start, in Minnesota. You know, John Gruden has come in here to basically fix Derek Carr. Like, that's where any rebuild needs to start. And he's probably spent more time getting questions about his all-pro defender Khalil Mack than he has his quarterback. I'm not even sure the two have met yet. I really don't know what's going on. It doesn't seem like any formal offer has been made. Mike, do you think Khalil Mack might actually be moved here? And second part of that question is what bounty would Gruden want in return?
I kind of think no. I mean, I've seen a lot of these holdouts, and there's a lot of bluster. He just seems like too good of a player to move on from. It feels more to me like you've got two great defensive players in Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack playing a little bit of a game of who blinks first.
Who sets the market?
If Khalil Mack signs, he can be the highest paid player potentially on defense, potentially for 5 minutes, you know, or a week, or until the other guy signs. So I think that's part of it that's hard to gauge. And then you also have the new sheriff in town in John Gruden. And so when you have a new sheriff in town, people sometimes, you know, test the power of the new sheriff, right? I remember I was a Seahawks beat reporter when Mike Holmgren was the new sheriff in town, came into Seattle sort of with the same kind of fanfare, the highest paid coach. You know, he was a real big shot, and Galloway held out and tested him, and he did force a trade. At that time, you were able to get people to a couple first-round picks for a wide receiver, so you would want at least that in return. I just don't know that they have enough defensive talent to move on from him. And if you're an acquiring team, yeah, you'd love to have him, but you want to give up a bunch of picks and pay, you know, a top of the market salary? That seems hard to me. And anyone's going to need Khalil Mack to play ball, right? He's going to have to agree to something. So I would guess usually the trigger is the season. Guys don't like to miss those game checks. So we'll see if he's any different from the rest.
You know, the new sheriff concept is one thing. I've heard it. I haven't heard anyone but you say that it's a game of chicken between Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald to set the market. I think you might be onto something right there. I smell some clickbait column coming from you.
Well, I don't really do those types of columns, I hope. But
no, but that's, you know, a good one, man.
These are the realities.
It's the single best theory around a topic that just feels so weird that I've heard. It really is. I applaud you, Mike Sando. I really do. No wonder why you're a Hall of Fame voter, for goodness sakes. What'd you think of Hall of Fame weekend?
You know, I loved it. My favorite part of being a Hall of Fame voter is just seeing how happy the guys are when they get in. Because let's face it, the only thing people argue and complain about is who didn't get in. No one's really questioning the validity of the guys who do get in. They're all deserving. So I love to see that aspect of it. I didn't get too caught up in the fact that Terrell Owens wanted to do his thing off to the side. I mean, that's just him. He's always been a little bit of a sideshow that came with all of the great production. So I think everyone made it through well, and I was happy for all the guys who got in. I watched the speeches. I enjoy it. I love the game. I love the guys who represent the game at the highest level.
I saw what you cranked out about Terrell Owens when you, I think, lobbied for him to be a first-round Hall of Famer as hard as anyone did. Are you a little disappointed that you wanted him in Canton more than he seemed to want to be at Canton?
A little bit, yes. I mean, I think it would be great if he showed up and did it. But, you know, I think he's always been a little bit off, right? I mean, we've always tried to figure out exactly what makes him tick or not tick. So don't get too caught up in it. Was me. It's like, if you get too caught up in it, it says more about you than him. You know, I just feel like he didn't do anything overly disrespectful. He did say that, you know, we're holding it against him that he was whatever, this or that. I don't know that that's true. I mean, I think we're trying to figure out how much his antics, which there were a lot of, affected his teams, and how much did they affect them in a negative way? That's really what the discussion, you know, has been about, not the production. So he got in. Other guys have had to wait a year or two. I'm glad he got in. It's over. You know, he's always going to be a Hall of Famer. No one's going to vote him out, and there won't be any more speeches in Tennessee.
I'll just come clean. I killed him for the decision. I hated the decision. I really did. Mike Sando joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I can feel it coming a mile away. This helmet rule is going to be the least welcome guest at the party all season long. Are you already worried about it as much as I am?
You know, I'm not worried about it being called like 10 times in a game. I'm worried about it being called at the wrong time, you know, selectively. Big play in a game where it's a judgment call and all of a sudden it's a huge penalty, derailing. Look, I don't think anybody wants the violent spearing thing that just, you know, can do a lot more damage than it's worth. So we want that to not happen. But if they call it the borderline one at the wrong time, I think then that diminishes the game. It's a physical game, you know, to a certain extent. I think it always will be.
Mike, always great to talk to you, man. Wouldn't want to jump into an NFL season without a conversation with you. Appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you.
Mike Sando, senior writer, ESPN.com. Great stuff from Mike, as always. And I mean it. That is the single best theory about this Khalil Mack situation. Look, even though the team that's moving to Las Vegas has historically been weird, they're not weird enough to trade away a great player. Any team's got to be able to come up with the money to keep a player of his ilk. I really do think the new sheriff in town theory is interesting, but the game of chicken that they're playing with the Aaron Donald camp down with the Rams is the single best theory I've heard that explains Khalil Mack's stalemate with the Raiders right now. They don't want to put an offer on the table because I think they're waiting for the Rams to put an offer on the table. And the story is the Rams are now in the zip code of what Aaron Donald is looking for. Maybe that means Khalil Mack will be getting some mail from the Raiders soon enough anyways. 888-957-9570. I love a good theory here on 95.7 The Game.